This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
People's Republic of China, the threats to our ally, the Republic of Taiwan, the threats to Japan, the threats to the Philippines, threats to Australia. What is to be done? I welcome Grant Newsham, Colonel Grant Newsham, United States Marine Corps, retired. Importantly, the author of When China Attacks, Warning to America. And Grant's book, I highly recommend, begins with the picture of America before the People's Republic of China made it a plan to undermine the credibility of the United States of America to its own people. And one part of that plan, as I understand it, is coming in and removing the factory floor from America and putting it in the reach of the Chinese Communist Party in China, in the area of Baltimore, in the area of the Ohio River Valley or the Lehigh Valley of Pennsylvania. Take that factory floor and take it to China with subsidies, with intellectual property theft, with conniving, with deception. So we ask these questions now of the four candidates who are looking for executive office in these next hours. How is it they stand with the ambition of the People's Republic of China to undermine America's credibility to its own people and to the world? Colonel Newsham, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. We begin with the former president, Mr. Trump. What do you make of his opinion of the People's Republic of China now and its predation towards its own neighborhood and towards the United States? What does Mr. Trump make of it? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. Glad to be here. Well, with Mr. Trump, we have 4 years of empirical evidence to look at. And he was the first president, the first administration in my lifetime, and I was born when Eisenhower was president, to actually take on the People's Republic of China and stand up for U.S. interests. Before him and after him, the idea was, well, if we just accommodate China, if we help them rise, that they'll become like a big Canada. And that was wrong. But Trump's administration was the first one to recognize the full-throated threat that we face, the attack we're facing from China, and to try to do something about it. You notice that there were people in his administration that the Chinese Communist Party hated, Mike Pompeo, Matt Pottinger, Miles Yu, Dave Stilwell. These were people that scared the Chinese, and they didn't like it. They wanted them off the playing field, and they got that. But under the Trump administration, there was an effort to counter and even counterattack Chinese economic warfare, and also to do something about the military buildup of the Chinese. The U.S. military was recognized as being, it was having lagged, not being able to take on a major power, and they were going to do something about it. They started, but they didn't have enough time. So we do have 4 years of, as I say, empirical evidence.
Senator Vance from Middletown, Ohio. You have made remarks about Senator Vance understanding what happened to the factory floor in the 20th century. How does he stand with regard the ambition of the People's Republic of China to replace the U.S. as the dominant power on the planet?
Well, he said that that's the big threat. He considers Ukraine something of a sideshow or something of lesser priority. But when it comes to China, he understands it. And he's one of the first candidates we've ever had who's come from really ground zero of this battle. And where the carnage is immense, he's grew up with it. They say the shuttered factories, the depressed neighborhoods, the opening up for Chinese fentanyl drugs that killed 75,000 Americans at least last year. He's seen it all. He's from that background. And he's not from an affluent background at all. So it's rare to get a candidate, as I say, who's seen the results of the ongoing fight and from the assault from the Chinese. And he recognizes it and also the need to do something about it. He's even proposed legislation that would restrict Chinese investment in the United States until they follow the rules they've agreed to. It didn't pass, but it shows you just what he thinks. And also, he's right on target by applying pressure on the Chinese financially.
And we move to the Democratic candidates. The Vice President Kamala Harris, she's had 4 years in office with the Biden administration, so we can presume, given remarks during the campaign, that there will be consistency with the Biden approach towards China. What does that look like going forward?
Well, Vice President Harris also has a key national security advisor who's on record, actually, is not wanting to be confrontational with China and apparently thinking there's a deal to be cut with them if we just accommodate them. And as you noted, we do have 4 years, once again, of empirical evidence of a certain policy, the Biden-Harris administration, put in place against China. And they did a few things that were useful in that they didn't just give up, but the tariffs, some sanctions they put on, also getting the Japanese and the South Koreans together was a useful thing. But overall, they didn't do much to slow down the Chinese. And the Chinese apparently are not afraid of them. You look at the outright contempt that they have demonstrated for Secretary of State Blinken, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, and that's been on display from their first meeting up in Alaska. So the Biden-Harris administration did not scare the Chinese. Their military buildup continued unabated. Economic predation didn't slow down at all. Fentanyl pouring into the United States. About 250,000 Americans have been killed in the last 4 years from that Chinese drug. And the best we can do now is to set up working groups with the Chinese to discuss the fentanyl problem. So I'm afraid that there just isn't the steel in a future Harris administration, or at least if there is, it's very well hidden.
And Governor Walz of Minnesota, a man who has much experience in the mainland of China, he's traveled there often, he's taught school there. What can we say of his approach to China going forward, should he be the vice president?
Oh, my goodness. This is a problem. His experiences with China are such that he probably would have a hard time getting a security clearance if he was not in office. I think that his experience and also what he's done, look at what the state of Minnesota has done while he's been governor. It's pretty soft on China. It's not something that really gives me much confidence. And as I said, you've got a long track record here of someone who has perhaps gotten a little too close to the People's Republic of China. And this is something, you never quite thought you would see something like this. So I would not be terribly confident about Mr. Walz's position on China and combined with the Harris administration's. And I'll note here that most Americans want is for us to succeed. And we don't care. Whoever can succeed, that's what we want. But once again, we do have a body of evidence to look at when it comes to what respective candidates will be when it comes to the People's Republic of China.
The final minute here, Colonel. The Beijing itself, the CCP, watching the American election, what do they make of the way we're conducting ourselves? This is a 50-50 election. Do they admire that? Do they disdain it? Do they puzzle about it? Is it a confusion for them that people can lead?
Oh, they understand it very well, but it's the last thing they want. They wanted no more than Tony Soprano would have wanted a vote to see if he was going to be the boss. That's the nature of the Chinese Communist Party and communist parties anywhere, that the last thing they want is for their citizens, they're not, well, whatever you call them, their slaves, citizens, to have any say in how they're governed. It is simply the top dogs who are going to run the show, and anyone who challenges it is going to be removed, either literally or figuratively. But they understand our system very well, and they do like to cause chaos in it, and they like it when we are at each other's throats. But as for terms of the Chinese communists, they are what they are. They're not hard to figure out, and there is nothing democratic or consensual about their system. In fact, our system scares the daylights out of them.
Colonel Grant Newsham, author of When China Attacks, I'm John Batchelor.